Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
A lot of guys that I fought in the past that I wanted took it on 6 days. This one's like the perfect guy to take it on 6 days.
What makes him the perfect guy to take it on 6 days?
Well, besides him having 17 different personalities and me not knowing which one's going to show up to fight, I think he's weak-minded.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
If there is a legitimate reason for you to be opting out, you don't feel comfortable, whether it's for yourself, whether it's for your family, I don't personally think there should be a stigma with that, because that's, you're making the best decision for yourself and for your family. And if we ever get to the point where we're shaming people for dropping out of a sport because they want to protect the health of their family, then we're in a tough spot.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
One thing we have to realize that this is not a fait accompli, that we're going to have sports in the fall. We may not have a college football season in the Big Ten. And so we just wanted to make sure that this was a next logical step to always to rely on our medical experts to keep our student athletes at the center of all of our decisions and make sure that they are as healthy as they possibly can be.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on this beautiful Friday afternoon.
What is happening? Can you hear me? Is my microphone working? Am
You're
I
good.
On? Am
yeah.
I hot? Am I on? All right. We're dialed in.
I would say this is what's fun about radio. You can't see what's going on, right? Like, we have to describe it with our voices. So let me describe this picture. Probably about 45 seconds from right now.
Yeah.
I was under Dirt's side of the table.
You were.
Digging through cords. Dirt was above looking for a plug-in. His mic wasn't even going to work. Swag was going to have to operate that. So.
Yeah, my thing was apparently was like unplugged. I don't know why it was unplugged. There have been issues with this one from time to time. I know Sakanik has complained about it quite often, and I don't usually have the same problems that they do, but when it's completely not plugged in,
yeah,
that's going to be a bit of an issue, and you don't really realize something like that until you get into the studio right before the show. But thankfully, I'm going to label him an engineer. Tim Taylor figured it out. We unplugged another one and plugged it into this one. Engineer Tim Taylor figured it out. Look at us.
With the hangover.
He's an engineer with a hangover. It's a perfect combination, and we're ready to go on a Friday.
All right. Well, let's start with the we got pretty big breaking news that happened, so we don't normally get that to start a show.
Oh, we do?
Yep. According to Travel and Leisure Magazine, Portland International Airport has been knocked off of their 7-year run as the number one airport in America.
Oh, give me a break. Who's beating us? No.
Hold on. Okay, first of all, did you know we were going 7 years in a row?
I knew it was a long streak.
That's pretty impressive, right?
I don't know if I could have labeled seven, but yeah, I would have given us a handful of years.
And yes, doing regular travel back and forth, especially up the West Coast with the pilots the last few years.
I've never seen a better airport than ours.
No. It's pretty well run. Actually, Sacramento's airport.
I've heard good things about that one.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Might be one of the best things about Sacramento.
Well, they might also have the best basketball arena in the league.
Yeah, they got a new arena,
too. The new arena is fantastic.
Yeah.
Look at that. Let's move to Sacramento.
Minus the cow crap smell that Sacramento occasionally gets wafted over with. Sure. Sacramento's kind of a sneaky good little city.
Is that breaking news on the show today? Sacramento, not that bad.
I will allow each of you one guess to see if you can... give me an idea who you think knocked us out.
Or is this mid-sized as opposed do they classify it?
This is the top ranking U.S. airport. They're not city restrictions here. I think they're going all airports.
The only one that can come to mind for me as an airport that matches Portland that I've been in. Now, I've not obviously flown to every airport in America. The only one that has sniffed it in my experience is Minneapolis.
Ooh,
that's the only one that I've been in that I've walked around and been like, hey, it's a good airport. I can hang out here. It's not too shabby.
I haven't been to too many east of the Rockies of late. So.
I liked Salt Lakes when I went. I liked Salt Lake had a pretty cool little airport. It's not perfect,
not bad. I don't mind Salt Lake City.
Denver's is kind of far from their city, but I thought they had a nice airport.
It's
hung
a
out
nice
for
airport.
Four
it's
there.
Just
removed.
Nice. It's just.
You're 40 minutes out of Denver, I think.
Well, you're a good half hour. Plus, getting in and out where they situated it, there's a lot of wind. That's a problem taking off and landing. So your takeoffs and landings tend to be a little bumpier and more exciting than most other places.
Yeah, I hate flying into Denver. It's terrifying. What's your guess?
I'm going to guess Nashville.
Ooh.
Nashville, huh?
Going Cashville. No, either of you did not pick the right one. Indianapolis,
huh?
Indianapolis was second last year.
Yeah.
And for the first time in 7 years, we've got a number one airport that's not Portland's.
Well, Indianapolis is a big convention city.
Yep.
I got big, huge convention centers, lots of space.
I haven't heard great things about the city itself. I know a couple people have been there and they're like, eh.
It's nice, but it's...
It's
a Midwest. There's nothing. There's not a lot of sex appeal to it.
Never been to Indianapolis, never been to the airport. I have no point of reference. But now what I will do is if I ever have to fly to the East Coast and you need a connecting flight, now you know where to connect through.
One reader told the magazine, PDX is far and away the best airport I've flown through. Extremely easy to navigate.
Yep.
Signage is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find anything you're looking for very easily. Customer service staff also wonderfully helpful.
Now, was there listed reasons in why we got knocked off the number one pedestal? Was there like updated changes in Indianapolis? Did they have better customer service? Like what in the last calendar year has knocked us from number one to number two?
Well, I want to point out Portland was the only airport on the West Coast in the top 10.
Yeah, West Coast airports. Actually, no, I'll take that back. San Jose is not a bad airport. San Jose is a good airport.
Yeah.
LAX sucks. Seattle,
no, LAX
I hate
zoo.
Seattle's airport.
Dude, SeaTac is one of the worst airports I've ever seen.
Okay, it's
never
not great.
San
Francisco, I hate San Francisco. Yeah. Oakland's not bad.
It says here it was bumped. It was a very close second, less than a point behind the winner. We were 1 point away.
You know what we are? We're the Michael Jordan of airports, and they just got tired of voting us MVP every year. It's like, dude, you got to give one to Barkley or Malone every now and then. Just throw them a ball, and we'll be back winning the MVP next year. You can't win 8 straight years.
By the way, Minneapolis got third.
Yeah, Minneapolis is a good airport.
Yep. Detroit got seventh.
Okay, what was the rest of the top five?
Okay, so it goes Indianapolis, Portland. Or no, it goes, Indy, Portland, Minneapolis, Tampa.
Tampa Bay.
Never been to Tampa.
Look at you, Tampa Bay.
TF Green Airport in Rhode Island. Actually looks kind of nice.
That can't be that's got to be a smaller one, right?
Well,
is that Providence?
Yeah, I would assume so, given that's the biggest city there.
Pulling up some pictures.
Savannah,
Georgia.
Savannah's airport, got ranked pretty high. Detroit 7, as I mentioned. Dallas. Now, let me give you a take on Dallas.
Which Dallas?
Dallas Love Field. I've flown into Dallas Love Field.
That's the alternate one. That's not Dallas-Fort Worth. That's not the huge one. Love Field is the alternate one.
Oh, okay. I've flown into Dallas-Fort Worth.
Dallas-Fort Worth is a zoo.
Yeah, it's massive.
Super nice, very confusing.
You got to jump on trams and go to different terminals. It is a whole thing.
Who thought that was, because I went to SeaTac twice when I went to Vietnam. Who thought Let's do trams that go opposite directions to get you to where you need. Who thought that was going to be a smart idea when they built SeaTac?
It's such a disaster, too, if you have a connecting flight and you're in a hurry. Because you land, and so, like if your first flight is delayed and you get in, and then you got to find out which tram you got to take, what terminal you got to go to, and then you got to run down to the gate. Like, it just makes it an absolute zoo when you're flying through.
Palm Beach in Florida got ninth. And Austin, Texas, got 10th.
Austin, Texas, okay. Well, I felt good about my Minneapolis pick. Yeah, anybody's looking for a Midwest flight, go through Minneapolis, man. It's a good airport.
You know, it's not like we're there all that often. It is nice to be known for something that's kind of important.
Dude, I'll take that, man. Restaurants, booze, and airports are all, they're important to every city if you're traveling in and out of them. So I'll take being well known for all three of those. I was at, now you guys were out, was this Monday, last Monday, whenever you guys were both out. But I told the story because my brother just moved into Portland. And so we had to go pick up their family right before the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. And it was, have you guys been to the airport since this whole thing happened?
No.
Dude, it was weird, man. Because it was the 3rd of July. They landed at 6:30 at night on the 3rd of July. You'd think usually absolute zoo, yeah, bonkers.
Ghost town?
Dude, you could, any parking place you want in the short-term garage, they were all open. There was like, I saw maybe 25 to 30 people in the entire airport when I got there. And then, you know, you walk in and you see the arrival and the departure screens. There's like 3 and 3. Each of them had barely one screen filled up. There was like 13 total flights flying in and departing that night. It was the weirdest thing of all time.
I've said this before, but I just thought about it a couple days ago. I was walking the dog. When I hear an airplane over my house now, I think it's weird. Yeah, I'm like, whoa. Oh,
people are still flying, huh?
When we moved into Oregon City, it was like, you know, probably 10 to 20 times a day you hear an airplane over your house. Since COVID's hit, I mean, if I hear one in a week, I'm like, oh,
look at that.
People are still traveling.
Those things still exist. I honestly contemplated that when I was at the airport, it's not safe and you probably shouldn't, but I thought, man, what a great time to fly.
Oh, yeah.
Right. As long as you're getting on a flight that you're not getting crammed into a middle seat, that kind of thing. But if you can find one that has a bunch of empty seats, like there's no wait, there's no security. Like you're just flying through airports right now.
All right. Well, we're not number one, but we're one of the best. Let's find out what's on tap for today's not number one, but a decent little radio show.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I gotta go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company. Born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on Tap brought to you in The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company. Born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. Got some baseball news today. Dirt's hero is not going to play.
Well, Bumgarner dropped out? No,
oh,
he's
you're
right.
A Diamondback
through.
Fan now? Is it going to hurt your feelings when he retires as a Diamondback?
Yeah. It's going to cause me to slowly die inside.
No, we could talk about this. Some other players that have decided not to play in the MLB bubble. Mm-hmm. We got Brett Ciancia, who you may follow his Twitter handle, Pick Six Previews, one of the prognosticators of college football. He's going to join us today at 1 o'clock. He's got Oregon in his playoff. I don't know. You know, he probably made this before the COVID, like, scenarios of conference-only football hit, but he still thinks Oregon's going to be one of the best four teams in the country.
I can appreciate people that go out on a limb, but I think he also has Florida in the playoff, which
yes,
is another
does.
Team people are like, well, it's not a normal pick right there. I like that than just doing chalk.
Didn't they win 10 games last year?
Florida? Yeah. I mean, they had a good season, but I think that's a big jump to say you're going to beat LSU, Alabama, Georgia, and take over the SEC.
We have two stops to make in the Daily Ticker. One is to South Bend, Notre Dame. What the hell are they going to do if the ACC goes all conference? Are they basically admitting they're an ACC school? And, you know, I kind of wonder if the ACC has the leverage here to try to negotiate them more in. So we'll talk with Eric Hansen of the South Tribune. And then a special guest after Eric Hansen. And I'm not going to ruin who that is because it's going to be fun. I still haven't gotten to the Mike Golic thing on ESPN Radio.
No, we've teased that for 3 days now. We'll slot it in today. It's a Friday segment.
We'll tease it. Who knows if we'll get to it.
We'll get to that bad boy today.
So we'll talk about that. We got crunch time to get to the Pac-12 financials. Guess what? The Pac-12 made more money than another conference.
We're not the worst!
Woo! We got Sprague the Line as well. So get your fake Spragging the Line sponsors in. It's going to be a fun one today. We will start. Well, actually, I kind of want to start with baseball.
Okay, let's do it.
Players that are deciding to opt out of this, what it means for them, where they're at right now as a league, and then we'll get to the Daily Ticker. Dirt and Sprague, happy to be with you on radio.com and 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Our two stops for the Daily Ticker coming up here in about 13 minutes. Major League Baseball is trying to get their season going. A lot of facilities been shut down, though, due to COVID. And the list of players, you know, we had this a little bit in the NBA, and I'm not really surprised that this is happening in Major League Baseball, but there are players opting out of playing in this year's season. The latest and biggest is Buster Posey. Now, he's got a pretty, you know, I think all these people have valid reasons. You don't want to play, you don't want to play.
Right.
Buster Posey's reason was him and his wife are expecting identical twin girls. They were born prematurely, so they're in the hospital, and Buster Posey just, he wants to spend time with them, be in the hospital with them, and he's going to forfeit the salary, the prorated salary, and he is going to opt out. This is not a shot. I think you know this. The Giants are not good this year, so I don't think he's missing all that much.
But how dare you?
He's one of the list. He's one of many on the list that have opted out. Mike Leake of the Diamondbacks, Ryan Zimmerman of the Nationals, Joe Ross of the Nationals, Ian Desmond of the Rockies, David Price of the Dodgers. I missed that announcement. I was in Newport, so I didn't see that one.
That was around the 4th of July weekend. Yeah, I think right before the 4th he announced that. Ooh,
boy. You're not even going to have Mookie Betts play for you, barely swagging. Now you have David Price not going to play.
Well, he's still got a big contract, so at least he'll be back in a Dodger uniform next year.
True.
And he's already a great Dodger because, remember, he paid for all the minor leaguers when the team wouldn't pay for him. So he's already, I think, done a lot of good for the team.
Good point there. Tyson Ross. Felix Hernandez? I didn't see that one either.
Yeah, Felix Hernandez. You had two boys drop out on your Braves, him and Nick Markakis.
Yeah, I saw the Markakis one. I didn't see King Felix, so our fifth starter's out. As I mentioned, Buster Posey. We'll see if this list grows any more than what it is. But those, I think, as of today, are the up-to-date list of players not playing for Major League Baseball.
Well, and the Posey notes, so they're adopting two, I think they're twins, they're adopting twins, and they've apparently been trying to adopt for a number of years now. And they had a situation, I think, in the last 2 years where they adopted a kid and actually got to the point where they took it home from the hospital and had it for a few days. And it was starting to, you know, they had welcomed it into their family. And then the parents at the last second, I don't know the rules on adoption and all that kind of stuff, they changed their mind. So the parents came back and they took the kid. So I imagine that's a really weird roller coaster for both the adopting parents and the actual parents of everything that they both had to go through there. So they've been trying to do this for a long time. You add in the fact, as you mentioned, they were born prematurely. So there's clearly the health risk that's involved with that. And anybody who follows the Giants, this isn't a huge shocker. He showed up to like the first day or two of their new training camp and practice a little bit. And he said when he showed up, like, I don't know if I'm going to play or not. He just was there for the first couple of days. He lives in San Francisco. He hasn't been around the team the last couple of days. They said he was dealing with a personal issue and everybody expected this decision to come. He's probably the biggest name to this point to drop out. Although you can make the argument he's somewhat similar to Felix because both of them are not the players that they used to be. And your point is valid of, and the Giants aren't going anywhere this year. And I think that's where some of these decisions are coming. Markakis may be a little surprising because the Braves have a good team and they have a chance. But for some of these other guys, like if you're going to be on a team that's not going anywhere, it's a 60-game season, he's clearly well off financially. He's been making north of $20 million for a handful of years now. He's doing just fine with his money. He doesn't need, I think his salary was going to be $8 million for this
season.
Seven
and some change.
Change with the prorated numbers. So he clearly didn't need the money. He said, no, I'm good. I'm going to sit out for the year. And as a Giants fan, I just hope it means they call up their top prospect, Joey Bart. I hope that's the outcome that comes with this. But no problem at all with Buster Posey's decision.
I think teams like the Giants, I'll throw the O's in here too, just for the local reference of, I wonder how many teams just, if they have guys drop out, say, look, we're not good. We'll see what we are 15 games in. If you're a disaster 15 games in, you don't have enough games to make up ground anyway.
No.
So like a team like the O's, right? Like you as a Giants fan, you know a guy like Joey Bart, and there's probably other people that'll catch on to that name if he gets a chance to be called up. I wonder if teams like the O's just kind of expedite Adley Rutschman or something. In a weird year like this, I was thinking about this last night on the drive home. I was listening to one of the national shows late at night. I actually got really excited for baseball not only for sports to come back and to be on TV, I think this is going to be a really weird year. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to have 1 to 3 off the wall, can't believe it teams that make the postseason. And we may end up watching a team that nobody, not one human being, picks to win it, dogpile at the end of the year. And I think that's the unique thing. Do I want 60 games? Never again. I don't want them to overhaul these rules. It's a one-off, but for a one-off situation, I said this like the NBA, probably going to apply to the NFL. It's weird. It's not necessarily fair for all the teams, depending on what players drop out, what players play. But for what our year has been, I'll take some weirdness as long as it means we still get to watch some sports.
I'm all for it. Like the old adage about baseball is every team in the league wins 50 games. Every team in the league loses 50 games. It's what you do with the rest of the 62 that determines are you winning your division or not going to the playoffs. That's the weird part about a 60-game season you're going to have is that you can have really, really bad baseball teams that get hot over a 20-game stretch. The things are just bouncing your way. A couple of guys get hot in your lineup. One or two of your pitchers are riding a heater, and you could rattle off, you know, 13, 14, 15 wins in a 20-game stretch, and then you go back to being the crappy baseball team you are. But when you do it in a 60-game season, we've all used the example. I think it's a funny one. Is the Mariners started last year, what, 15-2 or 14-2? Like, you do that, man, you're almost halfway through the season, and you're one of the best teams in baseball. So you just got to play slightly below 500 the rest of the season to try and make it in as a wild card team. There is going to be, and I'm hoping this all happens and everything, the testing is figured out and all the players are able to stay healthy to the best of their ability and we can have a season, because when you boil it down to 60, it's going to be every day, can't miss television. If you're a diehard baseball fan, you're going to want to watch your team and see. You could go on a 3-game losing streak, and that could be the difference. Like, that's it. It's not like it's this is a series in the middle of May that when we come to the end of September, we're not even going to remember and nobody's going to talk about it. You get off to a bad start or you go in a rough patch for a week, man, that's your season. You're done.
Yeah. I was reading an article the other day on ESPN. I think it was David Schoenfield who wrote it, and it was just an article opinion piece where he's picking the Rays, for example. He's picking the Tampa Bay Rays, and the reason he cites is they're 3 starters. He just says, look, they've got Morton, Snell, and the third name. I'm blanking on it, but he's picking that guy to actually win the Cy Young. But he gave all a list of reasons, depth, their bullpen was pretty good last year. But that's what I'm talking about, is we might end up with a team like the Rays, who they finally break through and they get a championship. Because the circumstances are strange. The circumstances are weird. And oh, by the way, just like every other sport that wants to come back, you have to take into account what happens when teams' best players or pitchers end up testing positive for COVID, missing 2 weeks of play. As you mentioned, a 3-game series or a 3-game set.
Yeah, it could be it.
Could make or break your season, whether you make it. Imagine when you don't have your best pitcher or your second or your third pitcher in your rotation have to be out for 2 weeks. What does that do to you?
Yeah, I think the part of it, too, is watching how some teams, and you mentioned Rutschman, I think an interesting case study for all these teams is going to be how they handle their young guys. Because there's really, and some organizations are aggressive and they call them up right away and they just say, play them. You're 19, 20 years old. We don't care. We think you're ready to be in the big leagues. And there's other teams that go with more of a cautious approach and say, let's, you know, kind of bring you along slowly and let you go through the right protocol, single A, double A, triple A. But not having minor league baseball this year is just going to make it really interesting, because the guys who end up being on the roster, not being on the roster, like, you're going to go back to probably the team camp and, you know, wherever your spring training site is or whatever, and you'll continue to practice and scrimmage. But I hope the teams are more aggressive with their younger stars. I hope you have more guys that are getting called up, because it's going to give fan bases something to watch later in the year, even if your team isn't involved, that could keep you around a little bit. But the Rays note is spot on. I already put $5 on them to win the World Series.
What was the payoff?
I'd have to go pull it up again. I mean, they were one of the top 10 favorites, I think, but they weren't near the top 5. The way that they creatively plan out rotations and use openers and kind of space out their pitching, they got a really good lineup. They made some good moves in the offseason. They got a good bullpen. So yeah, I threw a couple of bucks on Tampa, and I think it'd be fun in almost every sport to have one of those random seasons. Like, I know everybody wants to see Lakers and Bucks in the NBA. You get Yankees and Dodgers in baseball, that's probably going to get more eyeballs. But with it just being a weird season, having like a Houston Indianapolis NBA Finals right, or, you know, just two random teams in baseball, just, it would kind of sum up how weird 2020 is, and I'm all for it.
How many teams should we eliminate in Major League Baseball before the season starts? Would you even, how many would you put on that list?
I'd eliminate my Giants. Okay. I would eliminate the Miami Marlins.
Yep.
I would eliminate Baltimore.
Okay. Are the Royals there?
The Royals are still really bad.
Yeah. I've heard good and bad things about the White Sox.
They got a really good, they got a good nucleus of young players.
Bring up Madrigal.
Yeah, hell yeah. Call him up. I mean, you eliminate the Mariners. So, I mean, yeah, but not many. I mean, that's about it.
Imagine if the Rays win a World Series, what that's going to do to Mariner fans.
I mean, they've already been to one, and Seattle hasn't, so they already got that going for them.
All right, so there's an updated list. Buster Posey says he's going to sit out. He cites family reasons for it, and he's one of the list of Major League Baseball players opting out of playing in a COVID shortened season. All right, we have two stops to make on the Daily Ticker. The first is in South Bend. The South Bend Tribune, Eric Hansen covers the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. What are they going to do if the ACC is going all conference schedule? And the second is a station friend, actually family member, and that's going to be a lot of fun. We'll tell you who that is when we bring him on. Daily Ticker is next, but
in this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, Notre Dame is the most prominent independent football program in the country. There's other big ones, BYU, but Notre Dame is the number one in that category. They're kind of a pseudo ACC team in a certain regard of who they play on their schedule, but right now there's uncertainty in college football. Are all conferences going to do conference only games? We have no clue what that means for Notre Dame. So Eric Hansen of the South Bend Tribune, one of our good friends over there that covers Notre Dame, is joining us now. He's on Twitter at ehansennDI. Give him a follow. Eric, thanks for hopping on with us over here in Portland, man. What is your thought if the ACC announces all conference games? Does Notre Dame just get lumped in with them, or do they go a different direction?
ACC has been pretty clear to Notre Dame, both when we thought a regular season was going to be played and now that they've got Notre Dame's back on this. So, already there are six games against ACC opponents scheduled for this year, and the ACC would be able to provide them enough games to get to 9 or 10, whatever everybody else is going to play, pretty easily. And part of that is because the ACC only has 8 games scheduled against each other, as opposed to the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the Big 12, which play 9 conference games. So that's not to say that Notre Dame wouldn't try to play Navy, which is their opener, or Western Michigan or Arkansas, but we don't know, you know, how those conferences are going to move forward, whether they're going to go to all conference games as well.
Yeah, I think that an interesting ripple effect of this, and maybe there's zero validity to it, but I wanted to ask about it anyways. A lot of folks in college football have been trying to push Notre Dame into a conference for a long time, and they kind of got the, as you mentioned, one foot in the water, playing 6 games against ACC schools, which is half of their schedule. Would a season like this get them to dive fully in, or is this just a one-off and they'll go back to playing a normal schedule, you think?
I think it's a one-off and they'd go back to playing a normal schedule. I don't know why. What would be the compelling reason to push them to do this? You know, being independent isn't necessarily financially better off for Notre Dame, but it's what they want to do in football. And they found a partner that has put together an arrangement that benefits both of them. You know, the ACC has better minor bowl games because Notre Dame's part of this package. And certainly when Notre Dame comes to town to play these teams, that they're going to get an uptick in attendance. And Notre Dame benefits from not having to take the full dip. And normally they'd be playing 5 teams in a year. There's some years that formula doesn't work out, so they have to go 4 one year and 6 the next, and this just happens to be a year that they're playing 6. I think it's worked out. I know that there's a lot of resentment about Notre Dame being an independent. I don't quite fully understand it, but I'm sure that there are reasons that people feel that way.
There's always a bit of jealousy, Eric. I'll tell you right now, I wish Oregon State could have their own channel every Saturday and be the big time primetime game. Eric Hansen, our guest here, South Bend Tribune. I'll get you out of here on this one. The ACC clearly benefits from having Notre Dame at their games. As you mentioned, ticket sales, interest in certain matchups. What were to happen if the ACC tried to play hardball, has the leverage and says, join us or we're not letting you in, and Notre Dame tells them to kick rocks? What would Notre Dame do at that point? Have you even considered that?
For this season in particular?
Just this season, yeah.
Well, since it's not a reality, it's hard for me to I would say that they would still be able to cobble together a schedule based on the six ACC teams that are already scheduled. I mean, they're not going to take those away from them. They're already contracted to play those. And the fact that they have conceivably three other games, and we're assuming that the two Pac-12 games are going away just like the Big Ten. I think that's what we're all assuming.
Right, right. Absolutely. Eric Hansen, South Bend Tribune, covers Notre Dame. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Oh, so, I mean, and they had some other contingencies in place that they didn't talk about back in June when all this seemed like just a bad dream. So they have some other opponents, and possibly BYU would be one of them.
That would be a lot of fun to see. No doubt about it. Two independents going together for one great football game. Eric Hansen, South Bend Tribune on Twitter, at EHansenNDI. Eric, we always appreciate the time up here in Portland, my man. So thank you for giving us the update of what is going to go on with Notre Dame during a potentially all-conference type season.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, there we go. Eric Hansen with the latest on Notre Dame as they're the big independent. Now let's go to our second guest here on the Daily Ticker. He's a good friend of the show and the station, obviously. He is the more handsome, he's the better half of the Sucana clan here at 1080 The Fan. And I was told he's standing in line for In-N-Out. Now, is that still happening?
That is still happening. And in fact, in a convalescence, the universe coming together, like my food is ready to go any minute. So I'm here on the radio with you, but I'm also listening for order number 47. So I'm gonna multitask.
All right, John Sukanik is our guest. Now I brought you on, Big John, because you did something really cool, and I love that you documented it. You and some buddies, you rented out a baseball stadium in Kaiser. You got to explain the story for us.
So we're all familiar with the Salem Kaiser volcanoes, right? We've all driven down I-5 South, and you see the stadium off to the side. Well. So to preface it, so I'm in a fantasy football league with some buddies, and we have a event every year during the Major League All-Star Game where we get together and we barbecue and we watch the All-Star Game and we do our draft lottery to pick the draft positions for the next year, and it's kind of an annual event. Well, no baseball this year, so there's no All-Star Game. So I saw on Twitter about a month ago that the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes, because there's no minor league baseball season, they offered up their stadium on Airbnb. You could rent it for the night. And I thought, how cool would that be to get some buddies together and rent the stadium and spend the night there? And so I threw it out there to the universe, and everybody thought it was a cool idea. So we rented the stadium last night.
That is so badass, John. I love looking at the pictures of it. Now, did the greatness of Buster Posey's locker rub off on you when you took the cage?
I think I might have been in Pablo Sandoval's locker because I was overweight and slow, and I hurt myself in my first round of DP. So.
Oh, my God. John Sukanik is our guest. Okay, so could you tell us, for listeners, because we talked about this on our show, too, because we saw that and we're like, that's such a unique, smart idea for them to do. How much did it cost for a one-night stay?
So it's $1,000 for one night. You get it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We had it at 3 o'clock yesterday till noon today. We just left. And $1,000, there's a few little bit of taxes and stuff on there. But, again, there were 12 of us in my fantasy league, so we all threw in about $100. And we had it from pretty much, you get the run of the place. You get the batting cages, you get the locker room, the clubhouse, the entire stadium. Nobody's there. It's just you and your friends. You get the PA system. You can play music in the stadium. Oh, they set up batting practice on the field for you with a pitching machine and the L screen. And
yes.
I mean, you walk in and – like, I thought it would be cool, but you – and it's hard not to be romantic about baseball, right? Yeah. You guys know that. and you walk in and you get the run of the place and you walk down on the field. And I know it's single A, but you feel like you're 12 years old and you're running. My dad was there. My son was there. You're running around playing catch. It just, other than I hurt my hip, I felt like I was 12.
That is so cool. Now, who was throwing, like, did all of you rotate throwing BP, and then did anybody hit a ball out of the ballpark?
They have a machine set up for you, so okay. None of us blew our rotator cuffs. They had a, but I'll tell you, they brought out the machine, and I said to the guy, how fast does this one throw? And the machine they put out there throws 60. And I said, why not faster? And he looked at me and goes, this is fast enough. And it was. It's very humbling. I'll tell you this. I played in the Pac-10, considered myself an athlete at one point, and you get out there, and, like, I was playing third and make shagging grounders, and then I'm like, why is first base so far away? Like, who – why am I – I can't throw it that far. And it's very humbling to look out there and see how far 405 to straightaway center is. And the answer to your other question is no. Nobody – we had about – we had some friends and people come down, some family members. We had about 25 people at the peak of it, mm-hmm. and everybody took cuts. My brother came down and took cuts. Mike Lynch came down, and nobody hit one out. We figured we must have taken a couple thousand swings over the course of the night, and we had a son of a friend of mine come close. He went off the fence twice, about the 370 mark. But nobody put one out. So it's harder than you think.
Yeah. Did you really invite your brother instead of me or Dirt to go out there and play
Come
baseball?
On,
like,
John?
What the hell's going on up that?
Well, I didn't really invite my brother. As you guys know, he just sort of heard about it and showed up. So the gate was open, and he just walked in, and the next thing I know, he was in the cage. But he was – and I love my brother, and he's an athlete and in good shape, and – he walked into the cage thinking that I think he thought he was going to go yard. And I think it was a little humbling for Big Soup because he came nowhere near.
Oh, there we go. That's tough. Now, we did have a listener ask, watching or seeing how tough it is to throw from third to first, does it make you hate Kyle Seager less?
You know what is funny is I actually had that conversation with my friend because I was playing third and one of my buddies hit like a 7-hopper to me. And it gets on you quick. The 7-hopper gets on you quick. And I kind of panicked a little and fumbled the play. And then the first base is way far away. And I said, you know, with Mike Trout rips one down to third and Seager makes a backhand and then throws him out, that's really, really impressive. I mean, those guys are the best players in the world. So, yes, I hate Kyle Seager a little bit less after this experience.
Well, John, I want to get you out of here with this one. What was the sleeping arrangement like? And food-wise, do you provide your own food? Is there any kind of arrangement like with stadium hot dogs? What goes on with that?
No, there's no food arrangements. You're on your own. The greatness is that In-N-Out Burger's across the parking lot. So this is not my first trip to In-N-Out Burger in the last 24 hours, I'll tell you that, which is probably part of the reason that I hurt my hip. Last night. So there's no food. You're on your own, but you can bring in food. They have a barbecue there for you if you wanted to barbecue. So you're kind of set up. You're kind of set up in that respect. And then what was the last question?
Sleeping arrangement. Where do you sleep?
So again, the romanticism of the idea, I told myself I was going to sleep in center field.
Yeah.
Under the scoreboard in a sleeping bag. That's what I was going to do. And then you talk to the stadium guy, and he says, well, the sprinklers come on at 2 in the morning. So I'm all for romanticism, but I'm also for staying dry. So we moved into the clubhouse, and we slept in the clubhouse on the Salem Volcanoes clubhouse. And I'll tell you this, gentlemen, sleeping in a single-A minor league baseball clubhouse is exactly what you think it would be.
I'm a little disappointed you didn't wake up Willie Mays Hayes style and just start sprinting down a baseline. But you know what? I appreciate it. And it was really cool to see that documented on Instagram and Twitter. So thank you so much for giving us a behind-the-scenes look, hopping on
you
the show
bet.
And talking about it.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun. And I recommend if anybody, you know, like I said, if you get 7 or 8, 9, 10 guys or a bunch of people and you want a cool experience, highly recommend it. I would do it again.
Okay, very quick. Did Sukanik get even close to the warning track?
No, not even close. I think he was humbled very much by actually trying to hit one out.
There we go. Great stuff. Thanks, John.
Yeah, see you guys.
All right, there we go. Big John Sukanik hopping on here as our second stop on the Daily Ticker. The first was at Notre Dame.
That is so cool, man. I was looking at the pictures on Instagram and Twitter, and I'm getting some text chains going this weekend. $1,000, you get 10 guys together. It's a little over $100 a person or something like that. Totally, they got the pitching machine up to go take BP, shag some balls. Man, that'd be a lot of fun.
All right, we got an update in college football we'll give you, but we're back with more Dirt and Sprague on the Fan. 6'9", so I can get with Leo. Brett Ciencia runs the Pick Six Previews Twitter account, and he also has the digital Pick Six Preview magazine. We got an early copy of it. He's got Oregon in his playoff this year as the fourth best team in college football. He's going to join us at 1 o'clock. We'll probably have more on Sukanik not getting to the warning track of the Volcano Stadium and in the news today.
That's part of the reason why I want to go rent it. Yeah. I want to see how close I can come.
I want to hear what the excuse is, and I want to hear what injury occurred that prevented him.
Wow. Shots fired. Pew, 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 pew. Now, if you're going to rent this out, do you go wood bat or metal bat?
I'm taking a metal. I want to give myself the best chance to get over that fence. I wouldn't come close either.
No, not in a wood. You wouldn't come close with a wood bat.
Do you think you'd get one to the warning track down the line?
Yeah.
What is the line there? 320?
Yeah. The line, probably 325.
Yeah. I think I could. It's actually harder to hit. Like, we do like slow pitch softball and stuff, and I'll hit one out every once in a while, but it's harder because you don't have velocity with the ball. It's lobbed at you. So you don't have the added force of, and it's not like 60 miles an hour is that fast, but if you run into one, I feel like I could come close.
Yeah, I never hit one over the fence in softball like you. I got close. I got some warning track power, but that was about as good as it gets, so I have no confidence that I could hit a baseball over the fence.
Right. The tough part,
I get the speed and all
right,
that.
Right, right. You'd have to stay fresh throughout the course of the day because it would probably take 3, 4, 5 rounds of BP just to get
going.
The flow of it. Because when was the last time you hit a 60-mile-an-hour pitch? Like, we'll play slow pitch softball. It's nowhere near the same.
My nephew's baseball team 2 years ago went to the batting cages randomly with
it. Yeah, so that was it. So it's not like anybody does it regularly. So it'd take a couple hours. But if you got it all night, you can keep taking as many cracks as you want. Hell yeah, come close.
I would. I think John's friend is probably right. Like, 60's good enough for us. We're old. We're broken. We're not pro athletes.
Yeah.
I would probably want to tick it up to about 70 to 75.
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't.
Well, hold on. I did jump in the cage at 90 at that batting cage.
Uh-huh.
I hit 3 of the however many they give you per turn.
Not like hit or made contact foul tipped it?
Like solid. It went straight.
Okay.
Whiffed on a lot of others.
Okay.
If you get it faster, you just need to make the contact and everything takes care of itself.
Now, the only part that I would like to actually do is if we were to run it out, I'd love to set up the yellow screen and throw some BP. Now, my shoulders are awful, but if you gave me some time to warm up, I don't throw hard. I'm not a good pitcher in any way, shape, or form. It just would be fun to throw BP. Yeah.
Get a little long toss in first.
Yeah, just loosen the noodle up. Make sure you're nice and limber.
If you guys pull this off, we need to make sure I can get in the PA booth.
Dude, if you're not announcing and playing music up there, you're missing the experience.
Yeah. I think we need to come up with the idea of, and now I don't know what our corporate protocol is, but we need to do a live show from the stadium while we rent it out, because they said you can take over at like 3. So ask like, hey, can we just come in early?
Who's the boss?
Do the show and then like just start, you know, have live broadcasts as we're all taking BP.
Bigger issues to work with our own company because remote shows are currently on.
That's why I didn't know what the plan with corporate is. But.
Well, we've kind of lost internet for about 30 minutes here today during our show.
Okay, cool. Nice.
So, you know.
Well, that was.
I know. I'm saying there's technical issues that we have to deal with even in the own building. So.
But no, if we have a little show field trip or station field trip, yes, I need to get in the booth.
That'd be a lot of fun.
I should have asked John how close Mike came.
Yeah, I'll be curious. We'll have to ask Mike when he gets in today.
Well, here's the thing.
Mike's he played baseball. He's got a big body.
He said he played baseball in high school, right?
Was he a catcher?
Is that what it was? I've never seen him because he never played softball with us.
No, he never played softball.
Obviously, his schedule's never lined up because he's doing primetime, but I've never seen him play, so I'm wondering how close he came to the warning track.
Yeah, I feel like he's got to have a decent power swing, I would imagine, but he didn't mention that he hit the only one he mentioned was one of a son of one of their friends hit the wall twice at the 370 marker, so it wasn't Mike.
Yeah, it'd been pretty kick-ass to do it.
Yeah, I'm all for it. By the way, I did want to add one note because we didn't have a chance to react to it there. So we went to Notre Dame for the ticker. So it's, I mean, look, it sounds like their season's going to be fine. They'll end up playing like an ACC schedule.
They just announced at the end of the month they'll have a decision on that.
Yeah, an announcement at the end of the month. I asked him the question of would this be the first domino for them to potentially join the ACC full time? Because they do get criticized from time to time of not having an entire conference schedule. And I like how they also picked the weakest of all the Power 5 conferences. Yes, I said it, the ACC sucks unless Clemson's on your schedule. So let's not act like half of their schedule's tough because they're playing ACC teams. The issue that always arises when Notre Dame is good comes up at the end of the year. And this is what pisses me off about the hypocrisy of college football is they don't have to play a conference championship game. That's the issue. Now, is their regular season schedules outside of those six ACC games tough from time to time? Absolutely. They do a pretty good job of scheduling. USC can be good. Stanford's been good for a long time. Like, I get it. But when you have some conferences that get to that point, like think of Auburn a couple of years ago when they beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl. Their reward was to have to go play Georgia in the SEC title game. They lost and then lost a chance to go to the playoff. Whereas Notre Dame finishes up their 12 games, and if they were in the ACC, they might have to go play Clemson for another game to win the conference championship.
And you ain't picking
like
them to
every
be
other conference has to do, but they just get a pass there because they're Notre Dame and we want them on NBC so they can play USC and Stanford every year. That's the part of it that's frustrating to me, and it's just another example of, like, that's fine. If they want to have their thing and their regular schedule and they don't want to join a conference, but there's hypocrisy when it comes to scheduling, and that's why you need to expand the playoff.
I'll add this note because I don't want to forget it, and I don't know if we'll get to it. I just saw this. The Orioles have added Adley Rutschman and five other players to their player pool.
Ooh.
So there is I think there's going to be a chance we see him at some point at the tail end of this season.
I'm all for it, man. Give me the young guys. I want to see him this year. There's minor league baseball, so it's not like he can just go sit him in Double A for an entire season.
Dude, let him hit .180 for 10 right. games. At least just get him up there and let him get a shot. Yeah. All right, we got a lot to get to in the second hour. Brett Ciencia runs the Pick 6 Previews Twitter account, also does the Pick 6 Preview Digital Magazine. He's going to join us. We kick off hour number two talking college football next. Dirt and Sprague on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.